Please take your Bibles and open up to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, for our public scripture reading this morning. 1 Corinthians 15. As we look at the first few verses of this chapter, the apostle begins by laying out the basics of the Christian faith. He is delivering to the Corinthians the things that, as he says in verse 3, are of first importance. The perfect life of Christ, the sacrificial death of Christ, the victorious resurrection of Christ, the appearance of the risen Christ to hundreds of his disciples. But apparently there is also a major theological problem brewing in Corinth, one that would compromise the truths that are of first importance in the faith. And Paul articulates this major theological problem for us in verse 12. Look to verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Some in the church were denying that there is a bodily resurrection of the dead. Well, Paul then enters into this logical argument, a step-by-step argument based on their assertion that there is no resurrection of the dead. Verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Paul's just up the stakes here for the Corinthians. It was impossible to deny the reality of resurrection in general without denying the reality of the resurrection of Christ in particular. And the particular denial of Christ's resurrection carries with it certain logical consequences. And before we read our text, what I'd like to do is set before you four of these logical consequences that must follow if Christ has not been raised. I'd like us to see four problems with a dead Savior. Firstly, the apostles' preaching is in vain. Look at verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. If Christ is still dead, if Christ is still in the grave, then Paul's preaching is in vain. The preaching of the other apostles is in vain. The preaching of Paul's missionary partners is in vain. The labors of the apostles that we read of in Acts 4, where they with great power were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of this is vanity if Christ is still dead. But friends, the vanity is not limited to the apostles. The sermon that Pastor Jerry is about to preach to us is in vain. Me speaking to you right now, if Christ is still dead, my teaching God's word to you right now is in vain. It's useless. It's worthless. It's all for nothing. If Christ is still dead, we just need to pack up everything and go home, friends. If Christ is still dead, we should, as Paul says in verse 32, eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul goes right to his life's work here. If Christ is dead, then my calling to be an apostle, my laboring to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, my knowing nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, all of it is worthless. All of it is for nothing. Gather to hear Bible preaching on a Sunday? Why would we do that? It's a waste of time if Christ is still dead. Look now to the end of verse 14, where we see the second problem with a dead Savior. Paul says that if Christ has not been raised, not only is his preaching in vain, but the Corinthians' faith is in vain. Their faith is also worthless. And this makes sense, doesn't it? You'll remember the inseparable connection between gospel preaching and saving faith. We read about this in Romans chapter 10. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? If the gospel preaching of the apostles was in vain, then the faith of those who heard their preaching and believed and called upon the name of the Lord, their faith is also in vain because the message that they heard is empty. If there is no risen Savior, then those who call upon him cannot possibly be raised with him to walk in newness of life because Christ has not been raised. But again, by extension, we have to conclude that if Christ is not raised, then not only is the Corinthians' faith in vain, friends, our faith is also in vain. Our faith is also worthless and for nothing, which leads to the third problem with the dead Savior. Look now to verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. The logical outcome of a futile faith, of a faith that is in vain, of a worthless faith, the logical outcome of that type of faith is eternal death. Paul is clear. If Christ is dead, your faith is in vain. If your faith is in vain, you're still in your sins. You've not been justified. You've not been declared righteous before God. Look earlier to verse 3 with me. Paul declares to the Corinthians that Christ has died for our sins. How do we know that Christ's once for all sacrifice on the cross for our sins was accepted? How do we know that it was satisfactory in God's sight? Romans chapter 3, we learn that the resurrection is God's sign that Christ's sacrifice has been accepted. Romans 3:25 tells us that Christ was raised for our justification. But if Christ is not raised, you're not justified. If Christ is still dead, you're still in your sins. And the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin, the outcome of sin, the rightful consequence of sin is eternal death. If we have a dead Savior, then we are still in our sins. And if we're still in our sins, then we will receive the rightful wages for those sins in eternity. Which leads us to the fourth and final problem with the dead Savior. Look to verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. The preaching of a worthless gospel leads to a worthless faith on the part of those who hear, which leads to no change in their status before God. They're still in their sins, which means when they die, they perish. Now, the word perish here means to be destroyed. According to one dictionary, the sense of the word is not just physical destruction, but a hopeless destiny of eternal death. Think of some of our favorite verses that speak of dying in Christ, the joy of departing this life to be with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. When a Christian dies, we can grieve with hope because we know that they're with the Lord. Luke 23:43. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Or Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, we could go on and on and on with verses like this. But if Christ is dead, there's no point. If Christ is dead, we have no business taking comfort in any of these passages. If Christ is dead, we have no business singing for all the saints who from their labors rest. If Christ is dead, they are not resting. If Christ is dead, they are in the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. If Christ is dead, they are in the place of torment where the fire is not quenched and where the worm never dies. Saints, if Christ is dead, we too will join them there at our death. As Paul concludes in verse 19, if Christ is dead, we are of all people most to be pitied. People should feel sorry for us. But in the mercies of God, these four problems with the dead Savior, the vain preaching of the apostles, the vain faith of believers, the sinful status of believers, the eternal suffering of saints who have died in Christ, all four of these problems are imaginary problems. Verses 20 through 22. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Saints, we do not have a dead Savior. We have a risen Savior. And because he is risen, the preaching of Christ done in this building today is not in vain. You receiving that preaching and coming to Christ by faith today is not in vain. Having received Christ by faith, you'll no longer be in your sins and being justified. You, along with all of the saints who have gone before you, who have died in Christ, you have hope in eternity. Romans 8:34, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised and who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Saints, let us worship the risen Christ this morning. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll read verses 1 through 28. Hear the word of God. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then it is coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. You may be seated.